Om Shanti, and welcome to all of those who are with us today for this workshop, which is going to be given by Sister Sharona. Sister Sharona has been in Gyan for over 40 years, and I would say that she really epitomizes a good student. If we've watched her from a distance, we've seen sacrifice, her dedication to the study, to following Srimat, and really to doing seva. So a great example of Swa Parivartan. And she, from having taken Gyan in Paris, she was asked to go to Boston, which was actually where I first met her, and she was serving in the center in Boston before being asked to become the director of the centers in Israel, of which she is now the current director. And service in Israel has been really very, very good and very successful, and so many souls have come from that part of the world. So welcome to Sister Sharona. We're so happy to have you with us today, and warm welcome.
Om Shanti. And thank you, Shuna Ben. I would say 90% of whatever she said is really, really thanks to Baba. But since I'm in front of you, I'll say thank you. You know, we're such a small group, I would just as soon go down there. But are you thinking more are going to come, or what should we do? What about my thought of bringing my chair down? Do you think it works? It's okay? You can see me better? All right. Yeah, we have this side too. You can use this side. I think the group that was in some of the meetings have just arrived. It's wonderful. Hi, Mel. Nice to see you. Okay, so we were waiting for you. You haven't missed anything. I was just thinking, while everyone settles in, I was just thinking how absolutely lovely it was to sit and exchange drishti, because it was a very small group while we were waiting for all of you. And so it was a chance to really exchange drishti, and I enjoyed it so much. Because, you know, it's a big family, and here in Gyan Sarovar, lots and lots of people. We pass by each other in the dining hall, and we smile, and we're happy to see each other, but to give drishti is the specialty of the confluence age and the special way we greet and meet and love each other. And I must say, I am especially happy to see the group from Vietnam. It's really a most beautiful thing. I think the translation just came through. Otherwise, that would be one grateful audience. I wouldn't even have started, and I was already being applauded. Okay, so welcome. You know, the theme is, for the whole season, it's limitless love. Living in limitless love. And then I was given this subject, limitless love in service. And I think the topic, limitless love, is already huge. And service is also huge. So So let's see how we can explore these two and put them together in a way which makes us more able to serve in limitless love. Translation is okay? Yeah. Okay. So, I'd like to start with a little activity. Because this is a workshop, right? It's not a class. So you have to work. So, one particular question here. Can you identify the main quality of the Brahman form, the angelic form, and the deity form? Because Baba has told us we have five forms, so we're just looking at these three for the moment. My Brahman form, my angelic form, and my deity form. Identify the main quality, as far as your understanding goes or your experience, of each. For the moment, we're just in silence reflecting. And if I could get a roving mic, or at least a mic up here. Although, because we're a small group, I think if we just speak loud, we can hear each other. Brahman, angelic, and deity form. So what would you say is the main quality of the angelic form, or sorry, Brahman form? Faith, she says. Anyone else? Love? That's good, in a workshop on limitless love. Knowledgeable. The Brahman is knowledgeable. Anyone else? Peaceful, blissful, and purity. Okay. Renunciation. Think about it a minute. The Brahman form. Enthusiasm. Thank you. Yeah, I often like to say we're a school and we're getting master's degrees in enthusiasm. Look at Baba. Good. So this gives us some ideas. Happiness. The Brahman form, happiness, yesterday's Merlin, or the other day. What about the angelic form? What would you say? Hold on, maybe if you raise your hand, then I can go one at a time. Yes? Loving and detached. Lightness. Bestower of peace. Thank you. The angel form. Messenger of peace. The angel form. Anyone else? Yes. Complete. Okay. And double light. Someone was saying light, and here's double light. Okay, and the deity form. Because you're reflecting on this according to your understanding of these three forms, but also according to your experience. So what would you say is the main quality of the deity? Yes. Divine. Pure. Yeah, pure. Powerful. Powerful. That's interesting. Cheerful. Thank you. Full of virtues. Goodness. Goodness. Bestower. Bestower. Okay. Brahman. Angel. Deity. What I'd like to do is explore these three forms a little bit more, and then as to how this connects to the theme of this workshop, we'll look at that in a few minutes, okay? But let's go into an exploration and an experience of these three forms. It's a kind of meditation, no music, no nothing, but see if you can just follow along this commentary. I want to experience this identity Baba has given me, whereby he has told me, I am not American, British, Chinese, Vietnamese, Spanish, French. I am a Brahmin. It means I've died. To everything I was using as my identity before, I've taken a new birth. I am a child of God. I am a child of God. New birth. As the child, I am the heir, firstborn. Everything that belongs to God is also in me, inherent. I'm very, very powerful. I am a Brahman, direct creation of God. Everything Baba has, I also have. I am very, very powerful. On my left, I now visualize my angelic form, full of light. And I leave my Brahman form and enter my angelic form. And find myself in the subtle regions, a world of light. Divine light. And sitting
on a beautiful throne is Baba, Bab Dada. Same beautiful light all around him. Same beautiful light all around me. I sit next to him, also in a beautifully decorated throne. Both of us filled with light, enjoying such lightness and directing our gaze to the world below. Automatically, such beautiful rays of pure light stream downwards to the earth below. I am an angel of God, bringing light and energy of hope to all my brothers and sisters below. I am above, completely free. I am above, completely light. Nothing of the stories, the situations, the scenes in the drama below on earth belong to me, reach me, touch me. I am free. I am above. Pure light. And now I leave my body of light and enter my deity form. Firstly, can I see my deity form? And on seeing my deity form, can I not simply enter my deity form? In my deity form, I am the master. Eyes, ears, mouth, hands, every action of mine, every thought, every word, I am the master. I'm using this body to express myself as the master. I am not influenced. I am the influencer. And the world is filled with nothing but pure, true peace,
happiness, love.
I command. I am the master, the ruler, the king. And now I return to my Brahman form. Full, complete in the realization of who I really am. I am an instrument for God. I am God's helper. This is me, here, now, today, the Brahman. Very, very powerful. Thank you. Four questions for you. So you might want to write them down. Number one. What would you say is the connection of an activity like this with the theme of today's workshop? Limitless love in service. What's the connection between an activity like this and the theme of today's workshop? That's the first question. Second question. What would you say is a synonym of limitless love? Limitless love. What's a synonym? What is it? What's another word for it? Limitless love. Another word. That's number two. Number three is the opposite. We can imagine that the opposite of limitless love is limited love. But what's another word for that? What is limited love? What's another word for that? So first question, connection between this activity and our theme for today. Second question, another word for limitless love. And third question, actually same question, what's the opposite of limitless love? If we say limited love, then what is limited love? So this is all part of number two. And number three, how? How can I achieve such a capacity of love in service? What am I already doing which I want to be doing more? Or what do I need to be doing which I haven't been doing? How to achieve such a capacity of love in service? And the fourth question is, what would be a sign that I'm actually beginning to serve in limitless love? What would be a sign that I'm actually beginning to serve in limitless love? And I'm going to give you like 5 minutes to reflect on these four questions, and then there'll be some time for sharing. 5 minutes, okay? You want more? Or 5 minutes is okay?
Let's take 5 and then we can check in if it's not enough. Sister just came in. Shunaben, maybe you can give her the questions. Okay, if you're finished, turn to somebody, maybe even somebody behind you, somebody you don't know, and share your answers. You can be maximum 3 in a group. 2 is also fine, or 3. Three more minutes, enough? 3 more minutes? Om Shanti. Om Shanti. You know, in retreats especially, we have lots of time to come into small groups and take a topic and churn it together. And I personally find that so enriching. Did you enjoy this? Did you enjoy this? Because here in Madhuban, that's really what we should be doing over lunch, over walks in Dalijenki Park. Take a subject, share the churnings. But mostly we don't take advantage of that kind of being together. So I wanted to be sure we had some time to do that here in today's workshop. Very briefly, we started late, so I'm watching the time. But I would like to hear what some of you have to say. And so maybe if we could hear from someone just on the first one and the third one. In other words, how do you see the connection between the activity we did at the beginning and then the theme, limitless love in service? So if anybody would like to share on that, plus the third question, which was, how do we get to that? How do we get to that? So just sharing from those two questions. Anybody like to share? We have a microphone here. Yeah, come up, please. There you go. Microphones come to you. What's your name and where are you from?
Om Shanti. So I'm from the state Goa, India. The question was the connection of today's activity, which we did now, with the theme of today's workshop, Limitless Love for Baba's Service. So how we as a group related this is, first is the intoxication, and then comes the remembrance of the inheritance. Mm. The inheritance that we will be getting in our DT form. So that realization we had in this meditation when we went from our different forms of Brahmin, angelic and DT. Also the power within. So during our meditation we realized that yes, we have all those powers within ourselves. And the topic that we have about the limitless love, so that power we related. Mm-hmm. Also from the other group members we got point as compassion. Mm-hmm. So we experienced the compassion in our different roles as mm-hmm. well as the limitless love. So that's it was
okay.
Together.
Okay, thank you. You don't need to report from your group. you yourself, if you heard anything which is insightful for you or your own churning and you would like to share, it's not necessary to report from the group. So again, first question, what's the connection? But the other question was how to get there, how to end up with such a kind of limitless love in service. Anybody else want to share? Merv. Do you all know Merv? Merv.
Hello?
Merv.
Yeah,
Merv is Shuna's husband.
and my answer to that would be to call on Baba.
Call on Baba. That's the second question. How do we get to that level of love? Call on Baba. That's really nice. Call on Baba. Merv, how do you call on Baba for that? Can you say in the microphone?
What I said is I don't try and get him on my telephone. I haven't got him, so I call on him mentally.
Mental calling him. Okay. Anyone else? What is the connection between that lovely... Yeah, can you go? Can you bring the mic to the person? Yeah. Oh, I see. Yeah, what's the connection between that activity and our topic, and how do we get to limitless love? Anyone else want to share? Yes. If you stand up, we can see you, introduce yourself, it would be great.
Om Shanti. I just copy Baba and Mama. Every minute, because I always keep as a Bible Adi Dev and Adi Devi book. And so I always check with whether I'm in alignment with that, so that I'm able to achieve the goal.
Okay. What is your name, sister?
I'm Devi Ben from New Zealand.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Anyone else? Yes. Mm-hmm. And we need the translator, possibly.
Các cái hoạt động vừa rồi á, có những cái mối liên hệ thì Baba nhắc chúng ta là who I am, có nghĩa chúng ta chính là ai. Trong tất cả những cái hình dạng đó luôn luôn sẽ mang lại chúng ta cái niềm cái tình yêu vô tận đối với Thượng Đế, là chúng ta là Ramin của Thượng Đế, những tiên thần của Thượng Đế và là thánh thần của Thượng Đế. Và điều đó khiến cho chúng ta trải nghiệm được cái tình yêu vô tận của chính chúng ta trong cái cuộc, trong cái tiến trình phát triển này.
Thank you. Translation.
In the three forms, Baba reminds us who we really are, and we bring our limited love in terms of the three forms, why we are proceeding our life in this current life.
Yes, yes, very good. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Yes. Shuna, oh, sorry.
Tôi là Văn Anh từ Việt Nam. Về cái câu hỏi thứ nhất là cái mối liên hệ, cái kết nối giữa cái hoạt động và cái chủ đề cái tình yêu vô hạn. Thì thông qua cái hoạt động, tức là chúng ta nhận dạng ra ba cái hình dạng Brahmin, thiên thần, thánh thần. Và cái chủ đề thì cái mối liên hệ của nó chính là cái nhân cách sống của cả ba, đó là tình yêu vô tận. của cuộc đời Brahmin, thiền thành, thánh thành chính là cái tình yêu vô tận. Thì cái đó là cái mối liên hệ giữa cái chủ đề và cái hoạt động mà chị nêu. Còn cái cách làm sao thì chịu khó đi học hàng ngày và nghe lời Baba.
Let's get a translation. Yeah, thank you.
Regarding the connection between the activities and the theme, Baba remind us that in the three forms, our personality of the tree is limitless love.
Mm.
So how we should go to class every day and follow Srimad completely, then
that's how we get there. Okay. Yes, sister.
I'm come from Vietnam. My form cook. Cook. I think subject. My name is Cook. Yeah. Cái subject relation with service, love unlimited. I think the first Brahmin. Even higher deity. Before the same Thai, the Thai here, we together Baba, we love from him. Yes. I think I realize. I think nhận ra cái vai trò của sứ mệnh của mình hiện nay á, là mình có thể là biết là cái Brahmin thì cao hơn cả là thánh thần. Rồi thời gian này là mình cùng với Thượng Đế thì cái phép màu nó sẽ xảy ra, và để mà thực sứ mệnh tình phục vụ vô hạn thì thứ nhất mình xem mình là một công cụ instrument, thứ hai là mình đây là sứ nhiệm vụ của Thượng Đế, và mình có tình yêu dành cho linh hồn đều như nhau hết, tình yêu linh hồn. Và mình để có được cái nhiệm vụ đó thì mình có những cái phẩm chất trong cái thực hiện nhiệm vụ Thượng Đế là yêu thương, tôn trọng, hợp tác và thanh khiết và có lòng nhân từ. Thì những cái phẩm chất đó thì nó góp phần cho cái phục vụ Thượng Đế được diễn ra.
Thank you. Next. She has a lot of courage.
So we realize the role, the mission of Brahmin, and at this time especially we are together with God, so the magic will take place. And how to get there? We are the instrument and we do God's services, and we should have the same love for all souls, so we should give love, respect, mercy to everyone.
Yeah, thank you. That's beautiful. Okay, just because of time, I'm going to share a few thoughts of my own, and hopefully there'll be time for a little bit of interaction, questions, any other comments you all would have, and another meditation towards the end. Because I really do feel, which is what many of you were saying, it's the most important ingredient for serving with this godly love, because limitless love is not human love, right? It's godly spiritual love, very, very different. And I think the most important strategy or method that Baba's working with to get us to that level is to simply make us
understand, but more importantly, believe, and even more importantly, accept that this is what I am. This is who I am. This is what I am. Baba's method, in some worldlies they say his methods are unique. This is unique. He's trying to get to convince me that whatever I've been using for my identity for 2,500 years is an illusion. It's an illusion. In fact, I'm a Brahmin who is also an angel, also playing the part as foundational standard for the whole rest of humanity as a deity in the beginning of time. This is who I am. And as I was saying, it's not enough just to understand it. We've seen that already. But even like believing it, I could very well believe it, but am I living accordingly? Because this is what I was asking before I came to Madhuban. I was saying, you know, Baba, this trip, what will it take? What will it take so I can truly be released from that false identity that body consciousness gives? What will it take so I can not just experiment, explore these other forms that Baba's introduced me to, but live from that, or move accordingly, as Baba says it? Because, you know, as Brahmins with this knowledge, Baba has given us keys to three different dimensions, of reality. In body consciousness, we've only got one reality, one dimension, which is what the eyes see, the ears hear, the physical senses relate to me. But as a Brahmin, I've been given three keys. The dimension of the subtle region, which is a reality, and I am an angel in that. The dimension of eternity, in which I have a different home, a true and eternal home, and I have a different mother, father. And then my deity form. The future. I have a key to the future. Everyone in the world would like to know what's going to happen. What's the future? I know. But how much am I walking around with that knowing or even believing? Because, you know, one of the things I realized recently, not so recently, a while ago, was that Baba is not talking to Sharona or Kathy or Sylvia or whatever is your name. Baba is not talking to Sharona. He is talking to that baby angel inside, that deity, that master. The eternal soul, his child. He's talking to her or him. And it's not as if this is like the first time I'm hearing it and then accomplishing the adoption. It means releasing of the old identity and truly adopting the true identity. Every cycle I do this. So he's not really teaching, right? He's more like a doctor working with an amnesiac patient. Sometimes people wonder, why does he have to say the same things again and again? It's because that's how you try to help an amnesiac patient. I don't know if there are any doctors here. There are probably all sorts of techniques, but what we can imagine is you're just repeating. You're just repeating. Who are you? Who are you? Where do you belong? Who do you belong to? Where do you come from? That's all Baba does in his Sakarma. Really, he is trying to awaken a memory, awaken a truth which has just gotten buried somehow. So am I listening? This is in terms of how do we get there to this great truth, which includes limitless love, limitless peace, limitless happiness. Am I listening to Murli in that consciousness? Which is why it's so important to come to Murli at least 15 minutes before and come into those other dimensions. Listen to Murli from that other dimension. It's very nourishing, and that's what we're looking to do. Nourish the baby angel, nourish the master, nourish the deity. So I would say this faith, Baba's always saying victory goes to those who have faith in the intellect. First faith is that I am what he says I am. Nothing else, the exclusion of any other kind of thing that my own doubting intellect could throw up. So this dying alive, but also transferring, it connects to dying alive, transferring. Because if I am that child, that Brahman, that angel and deity, it means that anything, anyone, everything that I would have considered as a support for myself, as a source for myself, is not. Because people and things are material, gross, and I am not material or gross. Angel, soul, deity. So transfer. Transfer all my relationships to him, which is something he says all the time, but what does it really mean? This morning's Murli. How much do I understand the implications of my father being God? My mother, my father, I have an eternal mother and father, and they are God. So, where do I go when there's a problem? Who do I turn to? Who do I call for sustenance, support, comfort? Like Mirav was saying, do you call Baba? Or do you call someone else? Because he is not just my father, my mother, but also my friend. So available at all times and so loyal to me. He believes in me. He'll never let me down. He'll support me like no one can. Transfer all relationships. Am I using anyone, any book, any philosophy to still figure things out? Am I still working with human understandings of things to try and move myself forward when Baba is my teacher? To transfer relationships means I'm not agreeing to anything being my teacher anymore, other than the way I'm going to see, the way I'm going to understand a relationship, a situation, a person, through the knowledge that my Baba has given me as teacher. Use this knowledge, use this knowledge. If this knowledge is not working, for some reason, you can't stabilize in your true identity. You can't stabilize in a connection, a relationship with Baba as the child, as the student. Then there's psychology. Why not? They have tools. Use them. Go to sometimes we go through phases in which everything goes upside down inside. We lose our bearings and we're working with knowledge. We consult with our seniors. So psychology is there, but last, not first, not second, but last, Baba's knowledge. The things we're seeing in the world today, the kind of horrors happening, There's nothing that can prepare you for them. There's nothing that can enable you to contain them except the knowledge that this teacher is giving. So the sooner we transfer our basis of education and learning to the perspective that God is sharing with us, His perspective, I feel it's just the safer it is for us and the more empowering. Same for the Satguru. Blessings. Blessings can make everything easy if we've understood what blessings really are. Which just basically means someone's got a vision on you of absolute faith that whatever it is you want to achieve for yourself, you can do it. And Baba looks at us with that faith. But am I, as his disciple, he's the Satguru, I'm the disciple, am I in front of him in that consciousness that he is the one who will give me blessings, no one else? So transferring. Another aspect, so by the way, this is how I see the connection between this exercise we did in the beginning and then our theme. As some of you were mentioning, we are love, God's kind of love. And what I understand God's kind of love is something that Sister Mohini was sharing recently, which I really liked. She was saying that, you know, human love, limited love, is more like to satisfy emotions. It's emotionally satisfying. But godly love, spiritual love, is more like a fulfilling. So Baba's love to us is actually filling in us everything he has. So spiritual love requires, first of all, that I have treasure, spiritual treasure, but it's imparting that. It's enabling another to open to it and to start filling with God's love. This is limitless love. It doesn't run out. Human love does run out. It's there sometimes and sometimes not there. But God's love and limitless love in the service I do would be always myself connected to Him to such an extent that this is all they would experience. A filling of whatever are their needs or desires through me from Baba, who knows them better than I do. So in emotional love, human love, we're inside. We really get lost inside. But with godly love, we step back and make sure it's Baba coming through, and we don't interfere. We don't interfere. Personally, I would see the biggest enemy to being able to work with limitless love and service, such as I'm defining it now, really stepping back and enabling Baba to be experienced by those in front of me. Whatever are my words or my behavior, my actions, I should say. Biggest enemy to this is attachment. Attachment. Recently, I've come to appreciate how all the sorrow in the world, all the sorrow, all of the suffering, is because of this vice called attachment. I recently heard of somebody who lost 26 people in one day. They died. Friends, colleagues, relatives. How do you cope with that, first of all? She's not a Brahmin. But the cause of the total instability in such a circumstance, the loss of all peace and happiness, the complete, what would you call it, In English, the word is discombobulation, but I don't think that's translatable. Like the emptiness, sorrow, sadness, suffering. It's because I would have been using all those people, friends, relatives, connections, for my sense of support, love, happiness. This is emotional love, right? And when I cross the line from simply just enjoying people for their companionship and their help and whatever, but when I cross the line from simply enjoying it to actually depending on it, that's your attachment. And then it's removed, because nothing's permanent, right? So attachment is really the basis of all the sorrow and suffering. Now, for the people in the world, they don't have an alternative. What else will they attach to? This is all they have for comfort, support, for the majority, right? But for Brahmins, to still entertain any kind of support, help, love from another, a person or a thing, this is a recipe for sorrow. And if you ever find yourself in a phase in which you don't know how it's happened, but you're sad, or you're empty, or your happiness is gone, look to see around you, have you been using a person or a thing for support, for your well-being on any level, and that's been removed? Doesn't mean the person's died. It could just be the person doesn't like you anymore, or the thing that you are using isn't available anymore, or somebody's not available, somebody you've counted on. This attachment. So with people, we transfer all relationships, and with things, we become a trustee. It's not mine. Nothing is mine. When even this body is not mine, and anything connected to this body is not mine, so I'm not even beginning to depend on it for my well-being or comfort. So another thing that I think will get us there to this state of limitless love is, Baba's been talking about it, I think, for the last few Sunday Avyakt Murlis, which is take charge of your mind. Take charge of your mind. Declare a war on waste. Negativity for sure, but now Baba's talking so much even about waste. And you know, often as not, it comes down to two things, I think, which is just controlling your mind, just full stop, no, I'm not going to do it. But then also ruling. I've got to give my mind something else to think. Got to give my mind something else to envision. That's what the whole of Gyan is for, to give me the alternative. But in a very old Murli, a 1971 Murli, I came across a very interesting definition of two words. Controlling power, yes, but also willpower. And we definitely need willpower if we want to take charge of the mind. So Baba was saying that willpower basically means you just will whatever has caught your mind, a situation, a difficulty, a relationship, just will it to Baba, which is another way of saying give it to him, which is what he said in the Murli the other day in the Milan. Take charge by completely disowning any of these situations and problems and people that otherwise would deceive you into thinking that you have a problem and that you need to think it through to solution. Instead of, like Nerva was saying, calling on Baba and let touchings and signals come to you. It's such an easy life when I use Baba more, willpower, you just will the thing to Baba. You died, you've died alive, you have a will, that's it. He called it the power of yoga. This willing of whatever's the issue to God, that's your power of yoga. And he called it the power of yoga. And for controlling power, again, in 1971, Murli, he was saying, use the great mantra of contrast. The great mantra of contrast. So for willpower, you're using the great mantra of man, man above. But for controlling power, it's the great mantra of contrast. In which case, Baba was explaining, this thought comes up, or that thought comes up, it's either negative or waste. In other words, you've identified it, you know it's not nourishing to your truth. Just put into your mind the contrast, the absolute opposite of that thought or that vision. Because the opposite of that is what Brahma Baba would have been working with, Shiva Baba. So, mantra of contrast. I was experimenting with that. It's very interesting. Because essentially what we're talking about, and this is the third thing I think which is involved in coming into that capacity to serve through limitless love, spiritual wisdom. Spiritual wisdom is needed. And what I've come to understand spiritual wisdom is all about is just, in a word, it's positivity. It's positivity. The framework of my reality, if I'm working with this knowledge, this teacher, this identity, this inheritance, these blessings, this Sadguru, is there any justification for not being positive? So what's my framework of reality? This is spiritual wisdom. It comes down to some of the things I've already said. We use the knowledge. We hand things over to Baba. But we don't get into problems. We especially aren't going to use our mind to figure out a problem. We have like 3 minutes, which is allowed. But for every 3 minutes that I'm actually going to touch the problem with my mind, I have to spend 30 minutes not touching it. Work with the contrast, bring in gyan, feed the frequency, the wavelength of appreciation, gratitude, and most particularly relating to the Murli Baba we just enjoyed the other day. You know, he was talking about happiness. The whole thing is happiness. The whole Murli was on happiness. But did you understand what that happiness is based on? If we're spiritually wise, spiritually adept, did you catch it? It's all about understanding what is attainable when you are a Brahmin, an angel, and a deity. Fortune. The whole first part of the Murli was about fortune. This is study to get very closely in touch with what has improved in my life, what's happened for me in my life since God has intervened, since God has come into my life and even taken over. We have to get so knowledgeable about that and then drill it, really work with it. in the morning, in the afternoon, traffic control in the evening. We have to really accustom the soul to riding that wavelength again. Because problems, comments, criticizing, we have so many opinions, we have so many judgments. All of that stuff is a very low energy wavelength. It's body consciousness, reality, and framework. So, even if I don't have a problem, can I create the list of 10 attainments? Like, Baba, I've become so much more confident of truth. I've become more confident of goodness. I've understood more what is Maya. Attainment, attainment, because it's subtle, and we're used to gross attainments. Another degree, a promotion, you know. So we live off of a completely different track, wavelength. The world of humans, emotions, a different dimension. But training myself for appreciation, gratitude, awareness of attainment, this feeds the baby angel. And connects me to limitless truth. Really, you know, from the experience, not just the understanding. But there I would say, and this is maybe a last aspect of what we need to get us there, is a lot of silence. A lot of silence. It's connecting to what I was just saying. Don't go into a problem. In a repeating drama, do I really have any problem? Other than how I keep forgetting that I don't have a problem. But silence. As I was saying before, we have so many opinions, so many judgments. Our mind is always going, not to mention our mouths. Physical silence. Consider it and experiment with it. Someone's talking, just listen. You don't have to say anything back. Physical silence. Or experiment with saying, in essence, 3 words, what otherwise would be 30 words. But of course, silence in the mind is the most important, right? Especially at Amritsala. Prioritize Amritsala. Every time I forget that and I go to bed late, or I'm not careful about what I'm doing before I go to sleep. In other words, reviewing attainments and experiencing my true self. And then my Amritsala is sacrificed, compromised, it's not good. It's such a loss. Amritsala is gold. It's gold. Do everything you need to do to have a good Amritsala. Because the experiences that we can get at Amritsala, you would have to work 4 times the effort during the day. And even then, it's not sure you would have those experiences. So silence, such a deep, deep silence in which I can really know what is peace and what is violence. So that I can start being honest with myself and do the real work. Stop looking at other people, commenting, criticizing, comparing. This is what tricks the mind, pulls the mind out. That Merle in which Baba was saying, the mind has become the master, and you the worker. It's upside down. I'm the master, because this is the other thing, right? I'm not just the child as the Brahman. I'm a master, almighty authority, Brahman. And the first thing I have absolute control over, I do have this. I lost it for a couple of lifetimes, but I do have this, is mastery over the mind. Silence. Deep, deep silence creates a whole new relationship with myself. Recently I was working with a fellow who is a kind of VIP in Israel. And he's Israeli, and he has the religion of Israel, but he is a longtime seeker of truth, very, very educated, and he has kind of adopted the Buddhist path. he's become very knowledgeable about Buddhism, and he was sitting with me. He wanted to know the difference between Buddhism and this Raja Yoga that I teach, because he was curious. And he'd had some experiences in Brahma Kumari's Raja Yoga meditation. So I was not really sure to tell him what would be the difference, because I'm not all that familiar with Buddhism. But in chatting with him, I suddenly realized that an absolutely unique aspect of Brahma Kumari's Raja Yoga is newness, complete newness in relationships, starting with the relationship with myself. You know, all religions talk about the soul, but the kind of detail we get about what is a soul and the practice we're being enabled to take on, to really become versus just understand. So, totally new relationship with myself, not to mention new relationship with God, because now I know Him. And then, of course, that creates completely new relationships with others, new ways of relating to others. This happens in silence. Deep, deep silence. Whereby I experiment with my Brahman identity, angel identity, deity identity, child, etc., etc. So this is traffic control. Let's take it. And I'd like to guide this meditation by way of just giving another example of what we can do to nurture this amazing truth and miraculous process we're in as children of Baba. And I will be mentioning some thoughts out loud, but what the experiment is about is not just to hear me, but also to think these thoughts along with me, but also visualize them as much as you can, create the visual, and also keep yourself wide open to whatever feeling emerges. And if it's a wrong kind of feeling, not connected to the thoughts or the images, that's okay. Just continue to feed right thoughts, right images, and the feelings will catch up. I can always start my meditation by just appreciating that I am a soul. I am the soul inside this body, and I am completely independent from the body, separate. Just like a driver in a car turning left, the driver hasn't turned left. The driver made the car turn left. Driver hasn't moved. He made the car move left. In the same way, I am the driver of this car, my body. As I walk, can I not remind myself, I, the soul, am not walking. I'm very stationary in the middle of the forehead of this body I am in. I, the soul, I am making my body walk. But I am separate. I am independent. I am free. As I eat, as I drink, can I not use the key to the dimension of eternity and enjoy this truth? I, the soul, am not eating. I, the non-physical, non-material, metaphysical being, I don't need food or drink. The body needs it. I, the soul, I am making this body eat. I am making this body drink. I am separate, independent, truly the driver of this car, the rider of this horse. And it is the same for my mind. I am not my thoughts. I am separate, independent, very powerful, very wise, combined with God. Would there be anything I cannot achieve in terms of what is needed to reveal to all my brothers and sisters the beautiful truth of who they are and the beautiful Father of us all? Om Shanti. Brother, we can wait with that song for a moment. I wanted to finish with a beautiful song, but since we started late, we are still going to take a few minutes, just in case anybody would like to say anything, ask anything. The fourth question was the sign, and I can just share very quickly. I think a very beautiful sign that I am progressing, I am beginning to move towards adopting my glorious spiritual identity and living accordingly is that I really enjoy problems. I really embrace them. I accept them. I love them. What else is going to be a mirror to me? What else is going to help me understand what I need to do? What else is going to remind me how little time I have to do it? I was sharing before that, before I even came to Madhuban, I was saying, what will it take? What will it take for me to open those doors to those other dimensions and throw away the key? Live there, live there. What will it take? And then the war in the country that I am in started, and there is so much suffering and sorrow and pain on both sides. The whole Middle East is in such a turmoil for so many decades, so many lifetimes. So I suddenly realized, this is what it'll take. This is what it'll take, because this war has really snapped my attention.
And if ever I felt like I could afford laziness, carelessness, a little dishonesty here, a little dishonesty there, well, that's finished. I mean, I'm really spot on the effort needed now because of that. And I'm not even there. But I can tell you, the people who are there, both sides, Brahmins, this is what they're saying. One sister was saying to me, Sharona, I'm telling you, if anybody wants to become karmateet really fast, come to the Middle East. These tests, these problems, these conflicts, please, they're not as they seem. In the framework of positivity, we know everything is good, better, best, but really, really see them for what they are and let go of them, let go of them. If you have to make a decision, make a decision. Don't spend a lot of time worrying. Just make the decision. If you're wrong, you'll find out later, you'll apologize. And you'll learn and you'll grow. But basically, don't give anything an excuse to take away your happiness, your lightness, your faith that everything is good, and most particularly, you are good, very good. This is what we should do. We should go around to each other when we see each other. We should pat each other on the back and we should say, you're good, you're so good. My gosh, are you ever good? That's what we should do. Okay, Om Shanti. Anybody want to say something or ask anything? Cassie, you wanted to say something?
I mean, just how to maintain happiness and contentment when bombs are dropping.
Did you all hear her question? When bombs are dropping, because it's not only going to be bombs, right? Yeah. Bombs are one side. He said we're going to be surrounded on all four sides. So there's also going to be natural calamities. There's also going to be your own karmic accounts unsettled, illnesses, diseases. So this, for example, is a way to stay stable. Is, again, you know, spiritual wisdom. Are you feeling fear? Power of contrast, the mantra of contrast. What would be the opposite of fear? And why shouldn't I feel that? Use gyan. Create a framework that belongs to those other realities, because they're not alternative realities. They are the reality, and this is an alternative reality. You know, it's a lot like a movie, a good science fiction movie. I was sharing this with somebody, I don't remember who. You know, the world is going to be destroyed. This is the movie. And there's a handful of people, small, selected handful of people, who are sent to Earth to save humanity. Only they know what they're up to, and they know what will save humanity. They carry with them a weapon. It is a zapper. I don't know if you know the word zapper. It zaps a very high frequency energy which is not to be found on Earth, but will save Earth. You following me? Sound familiar? We are such a small, highly selected group of people who have been sent to Earth to save humanity. Our zapper is pure feelings, good wishes, positivity, which does not exist on the planet right now. Not as an energy, a raw energy, because everyone's too attached to other energy wavelengths and they're feeding off of that. So not only is this what I can do as the natural calamities come or the bombs drop or whatever, but I have to do it because this is my purpose in life.
This is my reason for being, and this is my happiness. Happiness comes either, as I was saying before, because you realize fortune, practical attainments by dying alive. But also happiness comes because you have understood what you came here to do, what this lifetime is for, and you see that you started doing it. That brings a lot of happiness. I remember the first time I had to go into a bomb shelter in Israel because the sirens go off. There are alarms warning you. So you have 3 minutes to get to a shelter. So I was sad when I was in the shelter. We were like about 15 people in the shelter. And my first feelings were sadness. I thought, my gosh, can't humanity do better than this? All we can do is drop bombs on each other as if we're still little children fighting over who gets the bigger cookie. I mean, really? So I was sad. And I looked around me. Some people were kind of like talking a lot. Some also were afraid. Others were laughing. But if you looked at that, you saw that they were just hiding their nervousness and their stress. So then I remembered, I'm a Brahmin. And I did this work of not, you know, one thing on the outside, something else on the inside, faking, but really go inside, who am I? Come into that reality, wavelength, energy, and just be there. And if there's something to say, Baba will touch the intellect, but otherwise just that silence, just that peace. And I have seen, it changes the whole room. So not only let's do it, but we have to do it. If not you, then who? As Baba says. Right? And that's why we love bombs. There's no training like a couple of bombs dropping on your house. Let me tell you. Yeah, anyone else? This is important stuff, right? If I'm still sad, if I'm still afraid, if I'm still any of those things, what is that telling me? This Madhuban, it might be our last. We're in a blessed place, divine energy all around. If I can't face those emotions and uplift them, purify them here, where will I do it? So take advantage. Anybody else? Anything that you'd like to say or share? We could take a few more minutes because we did start so late. Yeah? I can tell you I love you. Limitlessly. Such beautiful feelings Baba creates in us. Such beautiful feelings. It's an attainment, right? Fortune. Okay, so if our brother is still in the cabin, we can finish with this song. And if I can ask the translators to translate the words of this song, because it's also very beautiful.
I think we can just thank you so much for actually filling us with so much enthusiasm for when the bombs drop.
Or the fires,
or and the earthquakes, and all of that. So I think it's really, we can be very easy and loving about it all. Thanks so much, Sharana Ben.
We have to be easy and loving about it all.